All right, good morning. I've felt a little all over the place this morning. I watch Pastor Andrew, do the weekly service, and the moment you have to do it, you forget what order everything goes in. I realized I forgot to make any of the announcements, so read your bulletin, my wife works really hard each week to put the bulletin together, so now I'm forcing you to read it. when Pastor Andrew first asked me to give the sermon this Sunday, he was like, "Hey, you can kind of do a ministry update about InterVarsity." So I'll share a little bit about that. But I actually have a personal update that I want to share with you all. A lot of things have changed for me in the past few weeks, even. And so, I want to share that with our congregation. But going back a little bit, for about the past year and a half or so, I've been kind of trying to figure out what my job looks like with InterVarsity, and whether I would stay with InterVarsity or not. And that's a really hard thing because Lydia and I just finished 8 years on staff with InterVarsity, and then I've been with InterVarsity since my first day of college, pretty much. I met InterVarsity the first day of freshman orientation at the School of Mines. So even the week before school starts, I was already involved with InterVarsity. Some of you have heard that story. They gave me free ice cream, and I've been hooked for the last 12 years. Interestingly enough, as Lydia and I are, in our 30s now, that's like a third of our life, over a third of our life, we've been a part of InterVarsity. And so this felt like a really kind of deep decision for me. There's a lot of confusion, frustration, just trying to figure things out. And so I started seeing a spiritual director. So for the past year and a quarter or so, I've been working with a spiritual director. In case you don't know what a spiritual director is, it's actually an ancient kind of position. We have examples of spiritual directors within the Christian faith going all the way back to the monastics, like in the 300s, so the past 1700 years. But it's basically somebody who's a little wiser in the faith who will sit down with you and kind of talk through the different spiritual aspects of your life. And typically they've studied a lot of the Christian, ancient Christian practices, right, and spiritual formation. So today, right, in our modern society, it's a little more formalized. You can pay to see a spiritual director, kind of like you'd pay to see a counselor, but anyway, it's an ancient practice, and so I've been working with a spiritual director. And I kind of came in with the question of okay, I have a lot of emotions, a lot of confusion, should I leave InterVarsity? We talked about that kind of in the first couple months, and then I realized before I could make that decision, I had to kind of work some things out in my own personal faith. I felt more kind of stuck in my own faith. Some of it had to do with InterVarsity, right? But some of it was just things I need to work through. Particularly this year, I kind of started to get some answers starting around Lent. My Lenten practice was to say the divine hours or the daily office. So actually going all the way back even to the earliest followers of Jesus, and even Judaism, in the Old Testament, you had set hours, set times you prayed. So there's even the passage in Acts where Peter and John are going to the temple. Right, and there's the man begging outside the gate, silver and gold I do not have, but what I give to you, or but what I do have, I give to you, right? In the name of Jesus, stand up. And he pulls the paralyzed man up, right? And then they all go into the temple and everybody's worshiping God. That's the kind of towards the beginning of Acts, right? But it says, really interestingly, it was about the ninth hour, right, as they were going to the temple. So that's Peter and John going to say the prayers. Kind of the set hours of prayers. And so this is a practice, right? Most likely that Jesus participated in, right? All the prophets of old, right? Everybody, you know, for almost as long as the temple has been established, right? In the Old Testament. So us, you know, we're a little more modern. So historically, right, as we moved kind of from the Orthodox into the Catholic Church, into the Protestant Reformation, we've cut out a lot of the hours. So for us Protestants, we pray like 4 times a day. You know, in the past, you know, there are examples of people praying 12 times a day, or, you know, even one of our earliest Christian texts says you should say the Lord's Prayer at least 6 times a day, right? I just find that kind of amusing. But anyway, so I've been praying at these kind of set hours. And the book I brought up earlier, where I prayed from the beginning, right, it has these kind of set hour prayers. And that's actually been a really powerful moment for me. So I've obviously continued it since Lent. We're past Lent now. And it's just helped me to form my own faith. Using these ancient prayers, right? Most of that book's it's prayers taken from the Book of Common Prayer, right? So that's 500 years old, give or take, at this point. And so it's helped me feel connected to the broader stream of Christianity. I actually even feel it helps form me, you know, even like theologically, right? Like we in those prayers, right? We pray like that God is a God of mercy and of loving kindness and you know, you say the Lord's Prayer, right? So you're asking forgiveness for sin each day, you know, 3 or 4 times a day, right? And those aren't the normal type of prayers that I would just pray when I'm just, you know, asked to pray out. And so, so it's been really forming me. It's a really strong practice that has helped strengthen my faith. And interestingly enough, it's one of the few things in my faith that I haven't gotten from InterVarsity. Like I said, InterVarsity has been forming my faith for 12 years, but they are not very liturgical in InterVarsity, and so it was something kind of outside of InterVarsity. And what I realized is that was kind of the knot I needed to untangle. Like where was my own faith, and where was kind of this role I had with InterVarsity? And they're always obviously intertwined, right? When you're, you know, a missionary to the college campus, when I was teaching about Jesus, right? They're always intertwined. But I just had this moment where I just felt like I needed something that for the first time in pretty much my whole life, like InterVarsity couldn't give me. And so once I kind of untangled that knot, I returned to the question with my spiritual director of like, is InterVarsity still the job that I want, basically? And I'll be honest, I was kind of feeling like my time with InterVarsity was coming to an end, but I didn't have any opportunities, right? So I was like, I think I'll just stick around until something comes up. And I was kind of exploring some different things, right? Like, I have a degree in chemistry. I was like, do I go back to being a chemist? There's a reason I was never a chemist after I graduated, right? You know, I'm going back to my time in school. I really like kind of problem solving, math, stuff like that. So I was looking at, like, data analytics, things like that. I was just like, what am I even interested in? I've done this for so long, you know? Like, what is next? And one day I was saying one of the prayers, the Vesper prayers, so it's like 6, 7 o'clock, depending on how on time you are. One of the prayers I said, it was, as you have called me to serve, make me worthy of that calling. And I just asked myself for a second, like, can I truthfully say that prayer? Right, like as I'm thinking about just, you know, leaving ministry and starting out, you know, data analytics or chemistry, or like whatever it is, like can I truthfully say that prayer? I thought I don't know that I can. Like I feel like God maybe still has called me to serve. But at the same time, like, I've been feeling like my time with InterVarsity is done. Like, what? So what does that mean? In my youth here, because I'm still only 30, so I can make maybe foolish mistakes. I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna type in ministry in Grand Junction on Indeed, right? And there's gonna be nothing that comes up. Like, churches around here, they don't need anything, or they need like worship leaders, and I am not a worship leader. Like, you don't want to hear me sing into a mic. So then I'll just, you know, move on, right? So, you know, then I'll have satisfied my efforts in responding to this prayer, and, you know, we'll move on. Ironically, I feel like that thought process was some of the same thought process I had when I was like a young Christian, like 18, 19. So that's a little embarrassing now that I'm like, you know, 30, about to be a father, you know, I'm like, okay. but, you know, we'll ask forgiveness, right? And then I was looking on that Indeed search, and for most of the list there, that was true, right? A lot of churches need like worship leaders, of which I am not one. But there was a job for a director of family ministry. And that kind of piqued my interest, one, because it's at a church that Lydia's grandpa actually goes to. And so sometimes we go there for like holidays and stuff, and so we've been there. And actually, some of our best friends, some former InterVarsity staff, also go there. And so I was like, oh, I saw that, and was kind of like, oh, that's interesting. Like, you know, that's a good idea. Somebody should do that, right? And I was like, you know, and as, you know, Lydia is pregnant, and we're about to be starting our family, I'm like, oh, yeah, like, those are questions that are on my mind, right? Like, how do we help little kids grow up in the faith? How do we help, you know, middle schoolers and high schoolers, right, when they're going through that time of life? How do we help them live faithfully? I was like, those are great questions, and it would be so nice to have somebody who had answers. You know, I really hope I come across somebody who has those answers, you know, as I go along. And so I kind of set it aside, but it kept kind of coming back up over the next couple of days. And I continued to think about that prayer I had prayed, right? As you have called me to serve, make me worthy of your calling. And I was like, man, maybe as I feel my time at the InterVarsity is coming to an end, maybe it's at least a faithful step to apply, right? Maybe, you know, get to talk with them, kind of see what type of ministry they're doing a little more in depth, things like that. So I ended up applying for the job. So, you know, had a great interview, I guess. College ministry really helps, you know, when you're transitioning other ministries, right? And so they called me the next day after the interview, and they're like, hey, our next step is to, you know, have you meet with just the pastors instead of the whole board, and kind of just talk a little more casually. Could we set something up for next week? And so this is the beginning of May. And I was like, yes, but I'm actually traveling all of next week. Could we do something the week after? And they're like, yes, but we're actually traveling the week after. And so I was like, well, can you do today? And so we met like that afternoon. So in a matter of like 2 days, I've gone through pretty much the whole interview process, which was kind of crazy. So I had a great conversation kind of with their hiring board and with the pastors. And it felt like a good space for my own faith, and even just kind of the questions I'm asking, it felt like a really natural fit as Lydia and I start our family. And so I was like, but I'm not wholly convinced, right, that they think it's a great fit, right? Like, college ministry is like tangentially related to like families, you know. I have some skills, right, but I've never led a youth group or anything in my life, you know. And so I was like, I'll just wait. I'll see what they say. I was in Chicago, you know, a week and a half ago or so, doing some stuff for InterVarsity. And we were on the Wheaton College campus, which Matthew went with me, by the way, because he's interning. And so he was sending pictures to Pastor Steve to to see if he recognized random buildings, because Pastor Steve is, you know, went to school at Wheaton. So that was fun. But they have a super nice cafeteria at Wheaton. Like, the whole roof is a window, you know, so you can look up and see the sky. And so super nice. Anyway, they called me while we were at lunch. And, you know, I have to get out, make my way out of a college cafeteria, which is never an easy task, especially when you're in the middle of the eight-person booth. You know, they have this one long table. So anyway, so, and yeah, so they offered me the job while I was there. And so I called Lydia, and we kind of talked it through. And so, yeah, so I've decided to take a job with, it's Monument Presbyterian Church out on the Redlands as their director of family ministry. And so that means my time with AeroVarsity is coming to an end. I wrap up in August. Lydia's going to be staying with AeroVarsity. Yeah, she still feels called to the college campus. And obviously, things are going to look a little different once we have a kid, but nonetheless, she still feels called there. And so, yeah, she had a great year of ministry. She's been doing a lot more stuff on campus than I have been recently. I've been doing more, you know, kind of the administrative and leadership stuff. But yeah, I mean, we had a couple students who started to follow Jesus for the first time this past year. We've had student leaders, like, leading Bible studies for the first time in a few years. We have one student, Mark. He went to our Mark camp, which is a little ironic, but that's the one where he studied the book of Mark, you know. And he came back from it, and he was so excited that he led, for the last half of the semester, he led Bible study every other week. Before, he had been like, I'll give it, like, one a semester. You know, I want to kind of try it. And then he came back, and he's like, I'll lead every other week. Next year, when Matthew's interning with us, yeah, him and Mark are going to be leading a Bible study. So that's really exciting. So we had a great year of ministry on campus, and Lydia's still really excited to be there. I just felt like my time was coming to an end. But obviously, because I've taken a job with another church, the saddest part of all this is leaving this church community. And so I start kind of middle of June at the other church. So our last Sunday here will be the 16th, which thankfully is a potluck. So I hope to connect with everybody at the potluck, and we'll be here a couple more weeks if people wanna chat. So as I was thinking about kind of how to talk through that and share with you, I have a passage I want to share that kind of instantly came to my mind. So I'm going to share from, it's up on the screen. Yeah, Acts 20. It's verses 17 to 37. Actually, I might read 38 because I accidentally put the wrong number in, but it's Paul saying goodbye to the Ephesians. So it says, "From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church, and they came to him. 'You know very well,' he began, 'how I behaved with you all the time, since the first day I arrived in Asia. I have served the Lord with all humility, with the tears and torments that came upon me because of the plots of the Jews. You know that I kept back nothing that would have been helpful to you, preaching to you and teaching you both in public and from house to house. I bore witness both to the Jews and to the Greeks about repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus. And now look, I am going to Jerusalem, bound by the Spirit. I have no idea what's going to happen to me there, but only that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in city after city that captivity and trouble are in store for me. But I don't reckon my life at any value, so long as I can finish my course and the ministry which I have received from the Lord Jesus, to bear witness to the gospel of God's grace. So now," he went on, "I have gone to and fro preaching the kingdom among you, but I know that none of you will ever see my face again. Therefore, I bear witness to you that this very day I am innocent of everyone's blood, since I did not shrink from declaring to you God's entire plan. Watch out for yourselves, Paul continued, and for the whole flock in which the Holy Spirit has appointed you as guardians to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own very blood. I know that fierce wolves will come in after I am gone, and they won't spare the flock. Yes, even from among yourselves, people will arise, saying things which will distort the truth, and they will draw the disciples away after them. Therefore, keep watch and remember that for 3 years, night and day, I did not stop warning each of you with tears. So now I commit you to God and to the words of his grace, which is able to build up and give you the inheritance among all those whom God has sanctified. I never coveted anyone's gold or silver or clothes. You yourselves know that these hands worked to serve my own needs and those of the people with me. I showed you in all such matters that this is how we should work to help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus, as he put it, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." When he had said this, he knelt down with them all and prayed. There was great lamentation among them all, and they fell on Paul's neck and kissed him. And they were particularly sorry to hear the words he had spoken about never seeing his face again. Then they brought him to the ship. Okay, so obviously Paul's life is much more dramatic than mine. I am not bound into captivity, right? And I don't pretend, right, that everything Paul says to the Ephesians makes sense for me leaving. But what it did do is it, and I think why God was bringing this passage to my mind, is it's Paul's reflection on his time with the Ephesians. He reflects on all that they did together. Right? He was there in Ephesus for 3 years. Paul is much more eloquent and a little bit more dramatic, right? But nonetheless, he finishes this speech, and they're sad. They're sad to see him go because of the time that they've spent together. And so what I wanted to do for the rest of my time was just talk about some of my reflections of being part of this community, and just all the ways that that this church has shaped us and given us joys over the past, almost 6 years now, I think, if I'm doing the math right. Maybe 7 years now. Many of you don't know this, but we first encountered Living Hope Church because we met Pastor Steve when we were fundraising for InterVarsity. So when Lydia and I first got here to Grand Junction, we sent out letters to like as many churches as we could find on Google Maps in Grand Junction. So it was like 60 different churches, which I think there are probably more, but not all of them are on Google Maps. So make of that what you will. Now, when you send out letters and follow up with people, very few, you know, churches actually get back to you. But Pastor Steve wanted to meet up. And so Lydia and I did some spying. We watched some of Pastor Steve's sermons from back in the day. So we're like, okay, that's what he looks like. It turns out it's much harder to recognize somebody in person just from their preaching videos. This was back, way back, so our screens were all blurry back then. You know, we didn't have these nice digital displays we have now. So we met Pastor Steve. We actually didn't recognize him. So he was sitting like a couple tables away from us, and we're all like, I wonder if he's going to show. And he's wondering, I wonder if they're going to show. And then like 15 minutes go by, and we like finally, you know, connect. It's like, oh, we've both been here this whole time. So I think Pastor Steve might have been a little bit annoyed with us, to be honest, right? We made him sit there. But as we started talking about the ministry we were doing, you know, he actually became more excited and was just talking about some of his own philosophy of ministry, and that was really nice. And he invited us here to talk with kind of the elders, right, about missionary support, and then invited us to come on Sunday. And so we came that Sunday, and we had been kind of church hopping up to that point. You know, we'd go to a church for, you know, we'd try for a month or so, and just, you know, this doesn't quite feel right, and so we go to another one, and this doesn't quite feel right. And one of the experiences we were having is we would go to a church and sometimes no one would talk to us. Or, you know, they'd only talk during the, you know, when you're like, go down the line, shake everybody's hand, you know. That would be all the interaction we had. We'd go in and we'd leave. And then we came here, right? And Pastor Steve announced that we were there, you know, as missionaries from InterVarsity. But all of you pretty much came and talked to us if you were there. We met so many people, and people are so, so welcoming to us. And every week, right, people have continued to, you know, you guys always check in on us. You always say hi, right? And I've seen it even when other new people come, right? So many of you are aware of that, and you go and you make sure you talk to them, at least to say hi, right, at least to say welcome. Right, and that's because, right, our mission statement, right, is a caring community celebrating our Lord Jesus, right? And you guys lived that out for us, right? Like, we really felt cared for. And so that we decided to make this church, you know, our church. And then, of course, right, the longer you stay in a church, the more things you get roped into, right? So not long after, Pastor Steve was asking us if we want to work in the church office, which we still do, you know. And that was quite an interesting experience. You know, I never thought that I would be a church accountant. But, you know, I sat down for a bit and with Becky Haas, right, and she taught me QuickBooks. I never thought I was going to learn QuickBooks. I have a degree in chemistry, right? Now, Gabby here is a real accountant, and I would be very afraid if she were to actually look at our QuickBooks, because I'm sure I've made, like, a ton of actual accounting mistakes, but, you know, so far we get by. Self-taught, you know, on QuickBooks, just Becky and I setting it all up, so... But yeah, and of course, right, you know, we had COVID hit a few years ago, right? We weren't even sure when we were allowed to meet. It felt like that changed every Sunday. We got to Pastor Steve's retirement, which was, you know, so exciting for him and hard, right? And we, you know, there was a lot of turmoil around bringing in Pastor Andrew, right? And it seems like we're kind of beginning to be, you know, kind of stable again. Pastor Andrew has brought in some stability for us, and you know, that's really nice, right? But we've just been through so much, and I don't pretend to, you know, I've been super involved in all of that, right? But you know, you hear things in the church office, right? So, but it is, you know, all about this community, right? As we're navigating all these things, what does it look like to be faithful when we can't meet, right? When our services are forced online, right? What does it look like to be faithful and a caring community, right? As we bring in this new pastor. You know, and along with meeting Pastor Steve, right? Obviously, we got connected with Matthew. It's weird to think that we met Matthew when he was still in high school. It was his senior year of high school, I think. And now this next year, he's going to be interning with InterVarsity. And so, I don't know, it's just, it's crazy to think about, right? And of course, you guys know Matthew's story, right? Was gone for a while doing overseas missions, and yet, you know, somehow he's kind of circled back to us. And it's been a joy to watch him grow from a high school senior, right, to an InterVarsity intern into a missionary. And yeah, I mean, there have just been so many... even just smaller joys, right? We learned to raise chickens from Jerry and Sharon, the Pikes. You know, we have pictures in our house of us feeding Ron and Marie's goats. And the little baby goats, we went over there and, you know, held them and fed them. People like Roberta and Jerry, they lead our intercessors team for our InterVarsity group. So they connect a bunch of you, and you guys pray for us, and even a few people outside of the church, like Lydia's mom is part of that group, and they pray monthly for us. And of course, so many of you, right, you've supported our InterVarsity work, financially, in prayer, even just in the encouragements you give us each week. A lot of you have donated food to our students. Many meals were made possible on campus because of you guys. And yeah, so I mean, there's more. I'm sorry if I didn't get to everybody, but yeah, we've just loved being a part of this community, and God has formed us through being part of this church, and yeah, we just have so many good memories with all of you, and we're really sad to leave. You know, I am excited for the opportunities that are coming up to do kind of family ministry and figure out what that looks like for our family too. But it's definitely going to be sad to not be here each week with all of you. And so I just wanted to say thank you to all of you. Thank you for welcoming us into this community. Yeah, thank you for being kind and coming over and talking with us that first day and ever since. Thank you for all the wisdom and encouragement you've shared with us. And our lives have been deeply impacted by this church. And so I do want you to know we're sad to have to leave. So I just wanted to say a few kind of concluding remarks, and then I'll close us in prayer. So like I said, Lydia and I work in the church office. I do all the nice accounting, and Lydia makes all the bulletins and stuff. So we'll be sticking around, you know, as long as the church needs we said till August, right, because our baby is born in September. you know, at least for the next couple of months, trying to help transition those positions. So if you want to become a church accountant, I can teach you QuickBooks. or maybe we should get Gabby to teach you QuickBooks because she's a real accountant. And then we'll be here the next couple of weeks. We plan on staying through the 16th, like I said, the potluck. So we'd love to connect with any of you. You know, if you can't do a Sunday, you know, we could always do a coffee or lunch sometime during the week too. Lydia is still planning on staying with InterVarsity. So, you know, you guys will still receive the updates from her. And we still want to connect with you. It just won't be, obviously, weekly here at church, but we'd love to stay in touch with all of you. And so you guys know what's going on in our lives and what's going on campus at CMU through InterVarsity. So, again, thank you. And let me just pray for us to close. Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you for all the ways that you formed us over these years. I just thank you that this truly has been a caring community, that you brought people here who are so welcoming, who are so kind and encouraging and loving. We thank you that you've been with us through all the trials, all the difficulties we've faced. And I just pray that you would bless this church. That you would just pour out your kindness, your love, that it would continue to bless this community in profound ways, that all of these people would continue to meet with you and to celebrate you each week. Now, would you just pour out your love, your spirit, your presence, and your peace upon us? I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.